Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jock Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jock Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome, my friends, to episode 124 of Jock Talk. Jean-Jacques Taylor joined by my boy Big Joe and the Big Rig. What's the sit prep, dog?
Let's see here. We are 50 seconds in. The light is red, and we are 5x5. Operation Jock Talk is a go.
That is music to my ears. I hope you guys are prepared to be entertained and dazzled for the next hour or so as me and Big Joe tackle a lot of things in the sports world. This is episode 24, which means 24. Who else is there besides Larry Brown that we care about?
He said Larry Brown. Why you always playing, man? Marion Barber, Everson Walls.
Ha! Just making sure you're on your toes, dog.
I know you was. You ain't drop me out. You ain't drop me outside. I'm just saying that the Tony Romo, Dak Prescott, the best quarterbacks in franchise history. That's one of the all time. We should cut that. You know what y'all call that in the radio business?
I can't remember.
Yeah, you know where you cut
a drop.
Yeah, there you go. Because I was like, what the? Yeah. Offside, pump fake, whatever you want to call it.
There you go. Before we get started, we need you to go to the YouTube channel at The Real Jock Talk. Subscribe, like, and leave a comment for us. We appreciate it. Don't forget, you can catch you can follow us on IG. I'm at The Real Jock Talk. You can hit us up on Twitter at JJT Journalist. Joe said he was getting on Twitter someday soon. I don't know if he's gotten it there yet. Have you, Doc?
No, I'm going to get that up.
Okay. He said it's coming. And I'm on Clapper. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor. Is the handle. This is a slow time of the year. So, and I say that because we're talking about football. And so I take it easy this time of the year. So the show is much more relaxed. But I did find something interesting in all my reading. Now, just so y'all know, I started this habit many years ago as a journalist. I mean, I still am, but this is where it started. And so I probably spend anywhere between 60 and 90 minutes every morning reading just a whole bunch of different stuff. Some of it's reading on Twitter because Twitter is a great aggregator. Some of it's reading various newspapers like the Morning News and the Star Telegram. Other publications like The Athletic, I'll scroll through ESPN. And then I just, I'm just always searching for stuff to read and educate myself on a variety of topics. Most of them sports related, but not all of them sports related. But in the midst of my reading, I came across this last week, and I thought it was kind of interesting. Bill Barnwell, most of y'all know him from ESPN. He's kind of a big picture guy. He's been there for a long time, does a lot of cool projects. One of his projects that he does annually is ranking the offensive playmakers for each NFL team, which is cool because he takes into account your wide receiver room, your tight end room, and your running back room. Not just quarterback, per se, but your wide receivers, your tight ends, and your running backs. And he puts that room together, and then he kind of grades. And it's cool because it's a different way to look at offensive production, a different way to look and get a feel for how offenses go. Because we all know, and we've seen it here in Dallas with Dak Prescott, you take away all his weapons, Dak Prescott is not the same quarterback as when you put him with all his weapons. And then you end up with the conversation, dog, about, well, Tom Brady did all this and he didn't have a lot of weapons. Okay, Tom Brady's an outlier, kind of like Pat Mahomes sometimes. Aaron Rodgers for a while. If you're a great player, Hall of Fame caliber player, you might not necessarily need weapons. But on a given year, how many of those dudes are there? And so, so when you look at it with Dak Prescott or you look at it with the Cowboys or you look at it with your team, if you don't have one of those Pat Mahomes starter kits, it's a little tricky to see how your offense will go. That being said, I find it interesting. So, he ranked Let me see. Who's number one? Do you have a guess as to who he said has the most weapons in the NFL?
Joe Burrow.
Let me see where Cincinnati ranked, because they're not number one. Cincinnati, he ranked not in the top five, not in the top six, seven, eight, nine. No. You know why he probably don't have them ranked? He has them ranked number 11. Let me
Joe
see.
Joe Mixon is probably gone, and they don't have a tight end. But they have three receivers. For a long time, they had them three receivers. They still do three receivers, Higgins, Boyd, and Chase. But they didn't have a notable tight end, but they had Joe Mixon.
No, and that's exactly why they dropped. He says the real reason for the drop here is what's around the wide receivers. Joe Mixon was traded and replaced with Zach Moss. And while I thought Moss was 2023 with the Colts was underrated, his numbers fell to earth after a stellar start. I'm not sure he's on Mixon's level. Tyler Boyd was arguably the third best wideout in football, but after two fading seasons, the Bengals moved on. You know, and then he talks about whoever this tight end is. You know, so that's really what it was all about. It's about Mixon disappearing. Now he's got the number one offensive weaponry in the NFL at San Francisco with Debo Samuel, George Kittle,
yeah,
you know, Brandon Ayuk,
yeah,
Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
It's just hard to shut them boys down.
Well, that's why you can drop Brock Purdy in the middle of them.
Which is exactly what we were just talking about. So if you look at the it's interesting because when you talk about the Cowboys and you look at the NFC East, I decided we would look at the NFC East and see where the Cowboys fit in, because I don't think think this particular offense that the Cowboys have, we'll see what it does, but I don't have a lot of they don't have enough playmakers to me.
Real quick, what was the year that me and you was talking, and the Cowboys had all them 75 rated players at wide receiver before they got Amari Cooper?
It was 2017.
It reminds me of that. They're not as bad as that, but that was a crappy year, dog.
Yeah, yeah. No, and they've had a couple years like that where they didn't have a lot of weaponry, and we saw where Dak stacks up, which is he's a really good quarterback, but he's not that dude to elevate a bunch of spare players.
I remember your quote when you told me that year. I said, man, what they going to do with no receivers? You said, they believe that the system would get them open. I said, really? You said, that's what they said. I said, okay.
They did.
I know. I'm just saying. We both kind of was like, okay.
And they quickly found out that that was not the case.
Right. That's the party line. Okay, then. All right, then. So.
It would say so. So,
yeah.
Let's look at Washington. Remember, this is about the wide receivers, the tight end, and the running backs. Mm-hmm. It's not really about the quarterback, because we know they got a new quarterback in Jaden Daniels, and they hope that he takes off and can be that dude. I mean, he's the second pick in the draft. He's a dual threat guy. Now the only trick about this is, you know, you just never know how these cats will fit into the NFL, because Justin Fields was a terrific dual threat option, and now he's still a better runner than passer, which makes him a dangerous quarterback, but not necessarily the best NFL fit as we see him right now.
Well, Justin didn't really have anybody around him. Before you even got to the Bears, you got Terry McLaurin. Now I mentioned that he's a Buckeye. Before you mentioned it.
Okay.
You got Scary Terry, which what they call him. You got Scary Terry. And that's a weapon right there.
No.
You know,
he's a if Jaden Daniels can ball,
yep.
You should see Terry McLaurin have a big year, because let me just tell y'all this. Terry McLaurin is 91 yards shy of having five straight 1,000-yard seasons to start his career. He got 909 as a rookie. He's done it. Check this out, dog. 10 different quarterbacks he's caught passes from. Mm-hmm. Think about it. He's been in the league 5 years. He caught passes from 10 different quarterbacks. If you were a Dallas Cowboy in the league for 5 different years, last 5 years, you caught passes from probably 2 quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, Cooper Rush. Think about that.
Yep.
So you got Terry McLaurin. You got Jahan Dotson, the first round of last year. He was all right. He wasn't anything special. You got Luke McCaffrey, Logan Thomas have been swapped out for Zach Ertz, who's 33 years old. And, you know, Zach Ertz is a different kind of story to me because, you know, he asked the Cardinals for his release midway through the year last year. So he wanted to play for a contender. Guess what, Doug? None of the contenders wanted him to play for them.
That's right. I was about to say that.
Now, that's weird because normally you wouldn't even make a move like that unless your agent had said, oh, hey, man, don't worry about it. So-and-so said they want you, so we'll ask for our release. You go sign with them the next day. It's all good. Well, that never happened. And so that's very bizarre to me. You know, at running back, you got Brian Robinson, who he was solid last year. But, again, they don't have a lot of big-time options. You know, they say Austin Eckler will be interesting, but I don't know if this point of his career he's a real difference maker. He's a good player, but I don't know if he's a difference maker. And so Washington, according to Barnwell's rankings, 26th in the NFL at Office of Talent. Now, last year they were 22nd. Last year they were 21st, and in 2022 they were 22nd. So they're going in the opposite direction. But they got a new head coach, and so we'll see if Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels can change some of that. Next up, I'm sorry, man. I made a mistake. I thought I had this set up right, but I made a mistake. I'm sorry. The Giants, they were 29th. And you can imagine, who's the Giants' playmakers, Doc?
Shepard.
He didn't even make the copy. I mean, and Barnwell probably wrote about 250 words on the Giants. Shepard didn't even make the 250 words.
Well, I'm just saying the kid from LSU gonna get all the opportunity. And he can ball.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah. Malik Nabers.
Yeah, Malik Nabers is cold.
Now he's the guy. He's really what they have. Mm-hmm. Because they got Devin Singletary.
Devin is good. Devin is probably like the definition of a good pro. Because he's always going to be underrated. But he played pretty good wherever he's at. So
they don't really have a running back of note without Saquon Barkley. And I find something interesting when the Giants have you watched any of that Hard Knocks type of special with the Giants?
I saw clips of it and just about the stuff you're about to talk about. Yeah, I saw that crap.
Now, I think it's funny how teams operate. So this is off a clip from the show. So the Giants, you know, they got the cameras on the Giants. And it's a conversation between the Giants GM and Saquon Barkley. He calls him up and he says, Saquon, I just talked to your agent. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And blase. And we think the best thing is for you to go out there and establish a market for yourself. So let me read between the lines for y'all.
That's not the part I seen, but yeah, I got you.
Okay. Let me read between the lines for y'all. We can't come to an agreement with your agent on a number. So go out there and see what the market said, what somebody else will pay you, and then bring it back to us. Would you do that? You know, I understand. Yeah, I'd do that. Then he says, do we have your word you'll do that? And at this point, man, if I was Saquon, I'd be like, hey, duh, you had all this time to sign me. You signed me to the franchise tag next year. Nah, man, I'm just going to do what's best for me, man. I'll talk to y'all later. Peace out. Why am I going to go take an offer? Because he built it up like, well, you know, if you still want to be a Giant, if being with the Giants is important to you. Bro, if being with the Giants was important to you, you would have signed me. Well, but it's not.
The part I seen was where they was talking about must have been before they made that phone call, was they was talking about who's going to give him $12 million and give us give us a pick. We don't think he's going to get that. Blah, blah, blah. They were saying that type of stuff.
Right.
And I was thinking, why y'all, this is why y'all dumb. Why y'all putting this on, why y'all having a dumb conversation over this and all the trickery and all of the stuff y'all trying to do and y'all putting it on tape? Because they look so inept in those conversations. I don't know how they thought they looked like they knew what they was doing. You know, let's put on Hard Knocks some stuff where it looks like we know what we're doing. No stuff where we brainstorming and act. Don't put a true depiction of how you really work on Hard Knocks, dog. You understand?
Nah, man.
Look
stupid.
Yeah, just tell the dude come in here with his playbook, talk about how you got to cut him and say hi to your mama and all that stuff. Don't get up there and talk about Saquon Barkley and then look how it worked out. You know, he's not worth $12 million. Nobody's going to pay him that. You know, I'm paraphrasing them. They were saying, like, he's not worth $12 million. Ain't nobody going to pay him that. So let's see what we're going to do when he get back here and all of this. So they never expect the Eagles to do anything. And you should know better than how that Howie Rosen going to do something. You know, he's finding money from somewhere.
Yeah, so they don't have Saquon Barkley. They don't really have a replacement. Darren Waller, whatever you think about him, has retired. He hadn't been replaced. And so they still got Jalin Hyatt from last year. But, you know, they offensively, and we're not really talking about the quarterbacks in this conversation. You know, the quarterback is just a guy. So they're going to be hard for them to score points. Barnwell had him ranked 27th last year and 30th in 22, and they still stink right now. Now, your Dallas Cowboys offense, and that's where we're going to spend the majority of our time, they're ranked 18th, sandwiched between Green Bay at 17 and Tennessee at 19. Last year, heading into this, they were ranked number 7. 2 years ago, he had him ranked number 11. So they're not moving in a positive direction according to play, in terms of playmakers. You know, I think he looks at the biggest thing for them is they don't have a lot of speed and don't have a lot of playmakers outside of CeeDee Lamb. He's got some kind words for Jake Ferguson. But again, even if you're a really, really good tight end, I think Jake Ferguson is, it's hard for tight ends to make big-time plays. I mean, tight end is not going – I mean, even Jake Ferguson is not going to get you. But, you know, a great year for Jake Ferguson would be 11.5, 12 yards a catch. He's not going to generate that many big plays. Generate a lot of first downs, but not that many big plays. He's not really a downfield threat. And they don't have guys who make big plays. And, you know, we look at Brandon Cooks as that guy, but he didn't make a lot of them last year. They don't have anything out in the running game. And so you tell me, where do you think the big plays are going to come from?
Well, personally, I don't know, because what affects Jake Ferguson and makes him such a short target is that they can't run no play action. You can't run play action. If you can run play action, Jake Ferguson he becomes a big play guy because he can get behind people and he can run with the ball after the catch. But if you don't have any kind of running game, your play action game gonna suck. Brandon Cooks can stretch the field, but what's gonna happen is you're gonna be able to bracket CeeDee Lamb and take away Jake. I don't see it. I mean, unless Mike McCarthy pull out some Mike Holmgren type stuff that we ain't seen, that we ain't seen. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, he on the telestrator doing something right now. I don't know that he that type of coordinator. I don't know he that type of offensive mind. You know, he is a good offensive mind, but I don't know if he can do it without no weapons and all of that. Andy Reid, Mike Holmgren, those guys. And do more with less than any coach I've ever seen. I don't know if Mike McCarthy capable of that. So
yeah, I think for me that's the big problem with the offense. It's you know, I don't see where you can where the big plays are coming from, and that's a problem. And here's why it's a problem. In case you're unfamiliar, when you look around the league, most teams' scoring drives have a play of 20 yards or more within that drive. It's a run play, it's a pass play, doesn't matter. But they have a big play within that drive. And when you don't have those big plays, it is so much more difficult to score. And, you know, because what happens when you got to grind it out, when you got to go 12 plays, 15 plays? We all knows what happened. There's a negative play, so now it's second and 14. That's hard to overcome. There's a penalty, so now it's first and 20. That's hard to overcome. There's so many things that go wrong when you just got to drive it all the time. That if you don't have those big plays to help you, it just gets harder and harder and harder and harder. And so, you know, the Cowboys have got to find some big plays somewhere. Tony Pollard wasn't that last year, but in the past he had been a big play running back. So okay, now you got a guy who goes.
But the pass made him a threat, though. You know what I'm saying? You had to account for him, which gave you a little room to work, even though he wasn't explosive. You see what I'm saying? We don't have even that. You know?
Yeah.
So you don't even. I mean, you're depressing me today, man.
I'm just saying, man. Yeah. That,
what did you say earlier? You said they was gonna win. Like earlier this year, you was like, I think they're gonna win 9 games. I was like, nah, ain't no way. No, yeah, I'm feeling 9 games today.
I didn't say that, dog. I said 7-8.
There you go. There you go. I had
them less than 500. I still feel like that. Hopefully they're not, but I just don't. They got a whole lot going against them, man. On the field, and they got a whole lot going against them off the field. And what I tell folks all the time is, you know, because you end up talking to a lot of fans, and they want to sell you on the positive and this and that. And I say the same thing every time. It's not my job to have hope, faith, and optimism.
No, that's my job.
Because I've been around this. Yeah. Yeah.
That's my job.
Man. I've done this a long time. And what happens is, if you got 6 questions about your team, 6 really important questions, most fans will look at it and go, oh, well, here's why it'll work right, and here's why it'll work out. Well, the reality of it is maybe 3 of those 6 will go in the positive and 3 of those 6 will go in the negative. But check this out, dog. There are some seasons where all 6 questions are answered in the negative, and that's how you end up at 5-11. Now, some seasons, all 6 are answered in the positive, and a team we didn't think was going to do much, you know, they go 12-5 or 13-4 and, you know, make their run. You know, just the feel for having done this a minute, this season, I don't like it. I don't like the way it feels to me. Now, again, you know, things can change, but I just don't like the way it feels to me. And when you look at, so if you look at the wide receivers, and I say this, okay, CeeDee Lamb is there doing his thing. Brandon Cooks, maybe you like the way he can still get, maybe you like the way he played in the second half of the season. That's fine. Who else is there? Bunch of guys named Joe.
Stop it.
I mean, last time I said there's a bunch of guys named somebody else, and you told me to just say Joe.
I can't remember what you said. Anyway, I'm just joking. But yeah, Tolbert, the Division II kid. I can't think of his name. He might be. Yeah. You know, this is the type of season. If you're a fan, you know, let's say on the hope side, which is that's the side I'm on. This is the type of season where somebody emerges and you be surprised and y'all win a couple of games you ain't supposed to. That's why you still got to play the game. And I'm hoping it's that kind of season where somebody, you go, man, I didn't know that dude was going to be all that. You know, a Miles Austin.
No, that's cool.
A Miles Austin type of deal. You know what right. I'm saying? When Miles became a beast, you go, where did that come from?
Now, you know what's funny about that? I talked to Miles before the season he became a beast.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, duh, you look like you ready to break out to me. Because he had shown you flashes. He had done it. He showed you a little bit in the games, but he showed you a little bit in the preseason. He made a couple big plays the year before. In practice, all the guys were like, duh, Miles killing us, man. Da-da-da-da-da. And that's why when you talk about Tolbert and some other cats, you don't hear guys say, oh, Now I'm having an old man moment. Who was the tight end who was starting to really do some things? He was a former wide receiver of Oklahoma State.
Number 89. Yeah. Before Schultz. I can't remember his name. Right. Man, time flies. Yeah. I know you're talking about. He got hurt, though.
Right. But he was really doing things. But what happened? People on the team were like, but look at him. Your boy killing us in practice. He attacking the seam. He busting our ass. He's a mismatch. Da, da, da. And then you saw some of it in games. You're like, oh, okay, I see you. Well, that's what I'm saying. So when we talk about, well, maybe Tolbert can do something. Ain't nobody on the team talking about what Tolbert can do in practice or this or that. Now, that don't mean he can't show up in training camp and just start blowing people up. But yeah. Ain't nobody talking about it yet.
Well, you know, you never know. You never know. Sometimes a guy level off. Right. He is who he is. And then some guys level up and you go, dang, okay. I see you. I just know that when Dak throw him the ball, he catches the ball. That's it.
All right.
That's it. That's all you can ask for right now. He's kind of Noah Brown like. Noah Brown, for the most part, caught the ball when it was thrown to him.
Yeah. Maybe they can get some out of Tolbert. Tight end, Jake Ferguson is obviously on his way. Looks like he's on his way to being a star.
Yep.
You haven't seen anything from Schoonmaker other than he's injury prone. Now, Cowboys will tell you that John Stevens is a guy that they really, really like who tore his ACL last year. And they thought he was going to make a move during the season. So,
and he plays tight end, too?
Yeah.
So how many tight end we using?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't even want to get involved in talking all that because it doesn't matter.
No, I understand. I'm just saying how many, like how many three tight end sets we going to use.
Right. So the fact that
those
guys are great is woohoo. All right, great.
Yeah.
How much impact are they going to have on the offense?
Exactly.
Not much.
Exactly.
And then at running back, man, you can argue this till you're blue in the face. I don't think, y'all know, as a Buckeye, I'm down with Zeke.
Down, me too.
And the question is, what is Zeke these days?
He got left in the tank, baby.
And the reality is, and let's just keep it real, the reality is they signed him, so this is their reality. They signed him to be a role player. They're talking about short yards and goal line. So don't be expecting him to rip off nothing because they don't expect him to rip off nothing. They expect Malik Davis and Rico Dowdle or Rico Dowdle and Malik Davis to be there.
What about the little brother?
I'm going to steal a line from Clarence E. Hill Jr. He's a mascot. He ain't done nothing.
Man, come on. All right,
I'm not even sure you're going to make the team this year.
I ain't stealing no line, man. I got hope for the little fella, man. I like the little fella. Nah. I ain't mad at him.
I don't know that they're going to have any explosiveness in the running game. And so, again, we sitting up here talking about the Cowboys. Running back, tight end, receiver.
Wait. I'm sorry. I call him a little fella. Deuce Vaughn's who we talking about.
Yeah.
He's a mascot. My bad. You called him a mascot.
Kevontae Turpin, maybe he can give you something. But again, he's a niche guy. He's not a guy you can run out there for 60 plays. I'm just telling you, man, they lack it. It's not often that the Dallas Cowboys, who've been built around offense almost since their heyday, it's not often that they, to me, are this basic on offense.
Well, it just
from
feels,
a personnel perspective.
It feels like to me that Mike McCarthy going to get fired after about 5 games. And we're going to have, you know who the coach in waiting is, right?
Who's them?
Yep. And you've been doing Cowboy stuff longer than me, and I'm gonna ask you, doesn't it seem like Jerry always has a coach in waiting on the staff?
I think it seems like that to the public.
Okay. To me, but it does, yeah.
But Jerry is not his history is he doesn't fire coaches during the season.
Right.
He fired Wade during the season. But his history is he doesn't fire coaches during the season. I don't know that it makes any sense to fire McCarthy during the season. Of course, here's what happens. when you don't have a, when your coach is in a season like this and he's in the last year of his deal, first time you lose three in a row or two out of four, or I mean two out of three or something like that, let me tell y'all how it works. Jerry, Mike McCarthy's your coach? I don't even know why we're having this conversation. Of course he's my coach. And every week you have a loss, as you know, is Mike the coach? Yes. Is Mike the coach? Yes. Is Mike the coach? Yes. Is Mike the coach? Well, you know, we discuss these things at the end of every season. Okay, Mike just got fired. It just ain't happened yet. And that's what it's going to be like this year, man, because he's in the last year of his deal. And so, you know, to me, it looks like this offense, if Mike can come up with an offense that ranks near the top of the league this year, whoo, he's a magic man.
You ain't lying.
And again, you know, because it's just not a lot of weapons. It's not a lot of people to threaten you, which means defenses can play a certain way. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I've been wrong before. I don't mind being wrong again. It just doesn't look good. So the Giants, according to Bill Barnwell, had the 29th best group of offensive weapons. Washington has 26. The Cowboys are ranked 18th. You got a guess for where your Philadelphia Eagles are ranked?
They won.
They number two.
In the NFC East?
No, number two in the league.
Oh, in the league. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They're number one in the East, but number two in the league. Because you got A.J. Brown, you got Devontae Smith.
Yep.
You got Dallas Goedert.
Yep.
You got Saquon Barkley, running back. They loaded now. And that's a lot of weapons and a lot of things where you have to pay attention to. And, you know, everybody's attention gets, and once you get your attention diverted, that's when somebody busts you upside the head. So
who's number one?
San Francisco.
That's right. I'm sorry.
So you got Philadelphia got an elite group of weapons. And again, we're not talking about the quarterback, but Jalen Hurts is a quality quarterback, whether you think he's you know, an elite guy or somewhere between 10 and 12. He's still a quality quarterback. Don't forget your boy Kellen Moore, who y'all couldn't wait to run out of town as offensive coordinator, and he got a lot of toys to play with. Now, we'll see if he can keep what he does with it, where he gets too tricky, or whether, you know, he after all these years, he can kind of rein it in. And
Philly was dysfunctional last year. That was their
main
problem.
Internal issues. If they can keep
that's being dysfunctional.
Yeah, if they can fix those internal issues, they can go make it happen. That's a lot to fix though, because from what you read, you know, people got various thoughts on Jalen Hurts, from the players to the coaches. Now he's a $250 million man, so. You can have as many variable thoughts as you want to. It's going to be hard to get him up out of there. And so it's up to the coach to figure out how to coexist with him and get him to be the best player he can be.
You have a juggernaut of a team with a very young coach. He just kind of holding the reins. He ain't directing the pony. He just holding the reins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he a different kind of dude, too.
Yeah, he not.
He gets a little too emotional for me as a coach in terms of it seemed like he got a player mentality as a coach, even though he didn't play. Like at a certain moment as a coach, you still got to be calm and cool and collected because you got to make decisions.
Yeah.
And he seems a little too emotionally invested so that he doesn't always make the best decisions. That's from afar, but that's the vibe he gives me.
Well, who settles down dysfunction? A good coach will pull that together. Y'all want to fight each other? Okay, now y'all got to fight me. See what I'm saying?
Right.
And all y'all got to answer to me. So y'all need whatever's going on between you and you, it's about me right now. You know what I'm saying? That's what a good leader, that's what a good coach does, you know. So we'll see. That's why I don't really worry about Philly because they fell apart last year. And it's hard when you got that many strong egos and all that. You got to have an even stronger leader.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem, so I don't really worry. We going to have a hard time, but it might not be with Philly. That's what I'm saying.
Who would it be with?
Everybody with a winning record outside our division.
So we're going back to Chan Gailey year where they went 0-8 in the division. 8-8, 10-6 for the year?
No, we can beat people in our division because everybody suck but Philly, and Philly ain't no problem. But the Cleveland and the doggone Baltimore, those type of games right there, them cats are playing for real out there. You know, they playing some real defense out there. They doing some real stuff. We got a rookie left tackle and no running game. Man, come on, man. I'm sorry.
Okay. I mean, training camp ain't starting for a couple of weeks, so we don't have to go there now, but
I'm just saying, today
got every year. This got every chance to be a complete and total disaster this year. It just does, man.
I promise y'all, I'm coming back with a better attitude. I'm a woo-saw this week. I'm going to do all kinds of stuff. I'm coming back with some rays of sunshine next week. You know what I'm saying? Right, but today, I ain't feeling it right now.
Well, let's go on to the block and have some fun.
To the block. Yeah, we need to go on and do that call. Man, it's just, I'm depressed right now. I don't even drink no more.
I had a great time, and I was reminded, because I hung out this weekend, and I was reminded of one of the things I really enjoy doing, man. I don't know if you've done this. I don't know if it's up your alley or not. I used to do this quite frequently, and then I just got out of doing it, and so I've decided to start it back up again. Okay, I'm just going to tell y'all. One of the things I like to do that relaxes me is I like to drive. I'm not going to say the little bitty small towns, but they're small towns, but they're like some small towns outside of Dallas, like Ennis or Lancaster. But I went to McKinney this weekend, and I've done it in Grapevine, which is cool. But I like to just go, and they have these historic downtown areas, man, that are just cool to hang out in. Has Burleson got one? I think Crowley feels like it might be too new to have a historic downtown. Does it?
Nah, I don't really have a historic downtown. It ain't nothing new about Crowley. It's just small. But McKinney got a small town feel, but it ain't a small town.
Exactly. So I don't know what it is, but they got this cool historic downtown, man. It looked like something out the 50s or something. And maybe that's why I like to go hang out. But I got this, okay. Well, let me start with this. Do you like deviled eggs?
Yeah.
I made some about, I don't know, it was maybe a month ago. And I like them, but you know me, man. I got to be extra. So I put a nice piece of bacon in some of them. And I put a nice piece of shrimp in some other ones. A little red onion. And they were quite tasty. Okay. And I don't know how I stumbled across this, but there's a deviled egg place in Denison. That's all they sell is deviled eggs, and they're gourmet in terms of, you know, they kind of expand on what I did. And I was like, you know what? That's about an hour from here. That's not a bad drive. One day I got some time. Let me go up there and check it out. And then on the way, I found out that they had one in McKinney. So I was like, let me stop by that one. I mean, it's a little closer to Denison.
Yep.
McKinney still got a little small town feel to it. So I went there. And I was driving around downtown. I was like, this is so cool. Because downtown's got all these different kind of quaint, unique shops. And so, you know, you could kill an afternoon there very easily and have a good time. So parked, and we went to check the spot out. Duh, why it say it don't open till August? I was like, I mean, if you're going to open up a new location, at least on the internet, you should say this location ain't open up yet. That's not something you should just overlook to do. So I went to another spot. So that's why I ended up really walking all around and exploring all
downtown. Did you Google it first?
Yeah.
And it said it was open?
Yep.
Because some of them say temporarily closed. Yeah, that's crazy.
No. But it was a good time. It was a good time hanging out there. Went and had some lunch at a good spot. Had one of the best burgers from a place called Spoon. One of the best burgers I've had in a long time. And it wasn't like it was some, you know, super duper fancy burger. Now, it was a blue cheese burger. You down with blue cheese?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good with that.
And I haven't had a blue.
I hadn't on a burger though, but I'm good.
Well, you know, it's such a pungent kind of taste. But I hadn't had it on a burger in like forever. And I was like, wow, this is really good. So I had the burger. It was great. Went and played some pool at this bar. And then took it to the crib. But it reminded me of how much I enjoy these little small towns downtown. Like I've been down to Waxahachie a few times in their downtown. Because my daughter lives there and they got a White Rhino coffee shop, which in and of itself is not kind of old school, but they got it literally in somebody's old house. So it's kind of cool to go down there and work from time to time. Lancaster's got a cool little square, and they got a great soul food spot down there that I can't remember the name of it, as well as a coffee house. Grapevines is pretty cool too. So I like to get around and do that from time to time, man.
McKinney is a beast. I delivered, you know, I drove trucks 25 years. I remember McKinney had like one restaurant we delivered to down there. off of 75. That's Taco Bueno.
Right. And
they just, the last time I left McKinney, I probably did like 13 stores in one day there. It just exploded. Hell, I think they might have two roadhouses in McKinney. I don't know too many cities have two.
Well, you know, it's the same thing, man. I think the people from Plano moved out to McKinney looking for more space and a little more land and all of that.
El Dorado, that's a street out there, man. They got a lot of stuff on there. Yeah,
El Dorado went a long way.
Yeah, I like the people in McKinney. I like delivering out there, too.
And now the people in McKinney are like, damn, all this space we used to have, y'all up in here taking it over. So they done moved out to places like Melissa and Anna. Yep. To do what? Get more space, more land, a little less people, a little less traffic.
Be a powerhouse in sports. Melissa gonna do you.
I remember, I'm old enough to remember when McKinney just had one high school.
Yeah.
Then they opened up McKinney North. I don't know if they got more than that now. Yeah. But as you said, you can't have two 6A schools and be no little bitty city. So McKinney got a lot going on, but it's a good time hanging out in downtown McKinney the other day. And so if you get a chance, go check out some of these little communities, cities. I don't want to disrespect them by accident. I've rattled off a few. I've been to Ennis. They got a nice one downtown. And it's just cool to hang out for an afternoon if you're looking for something to do.
Did they have a Cold Stone over there where you was at?
You know what? No. They had some other kind of creamery, but I can't remember the name.
Okay, because I delivered a Cold Stone over there, a little shopping area, a little high-end shopping area over there in McKinney, too. Man, they got a lot of stuff over there. It might have been Allen. I don't know. They run into each other, so.
Now, Allen does have the premium shopping mall where they had the mass shooting a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I swung by there, too, just to hang out for a minute, look at a couple spots.
Yeah.
But I'm being financially disciplined these days, so I didn't buy anything. I was just walking around. I saw something cool on Netflix this weekend while I was working, and it just captivated me, and I watched the whole series while I was working, off and on. It was a series called Sprint or Sprinter.
Sprint. It's called Sprint.
Have you seen it?
No, I watched Receiver. I binged on Receiver this week.
I was going to watch Receiver next week.
Yeah.
And then we could chat about it. But Sprint was really good. It's a documentary on really about some of the top male and female sprinters in the world. And it took them through last season. Obviously, it's leading up to the Olympics. And it was a well-done series, man. They talked for the women. Obviously, they talked to Sha'Carri Richardson. They talked to Gabby Thompson in the 200. And then they talked to three of the Jamaican sprinters. You know, and it was well done, man. They told us some insight into all of them. Camera access for a documentary was good, as you would expect. The footage was terrific. They took us into the coaching. So I thought it was great. And then the men was really good with Noah Lyles and Fred Curley from the U.S. And then they had, and I forget the guy's name, Hollins from England, who was mentored by Linford Christie, who was, you know, one of the great English sprinters, probably the greatest sprinter from England back in the late 80s, early 90s. My boy Michael Johnson was on there delivering some commentary. So I thought it was just cool. It was well done. And it was some good insight into the world of sprinting. And it makes you wonder, because he's in the midst of starting like a professional track league to bring more attention to it and bring more eyeballs on it. And you wonder if track, why it can't be like tennis in terms of global interest and have its own little niche and its own little space in the world, because the rivalries, dog, between the top sprinters, oh, yeah, that's it's on and popping, man.
I thought it was already like that. It's just not like that in the U.S.
This is true. He's trying to bring it to the U.S.
Yeah.
You know.
Because track is big as youth, on youth track and all that. It's pretty big. It's pretty strong. They got some pretty strong
it's
stuff.
It's like
going
youth
on.
Soccer. You always wonder why it don't latch. Yeah.
They got some pretty strong stuff going on out here in Fort Worth, too.
In what respect?
A friend of mine, the coaches out here, has got a big complex out toward Weatherford, outside of Fort Worth, called AP Ranch, and they breaking records out there, and they doing things. A big investment going on out there, and they doing a lot of things for the youths out there. They got a football complex. They built a track out there. They got dorms out there. They got a chef for the kids. They got basketball. They doing a lot of good things that's not normally associated with Fort Worth athletics. And they're doing it big out there. And that's what I'm saying about track, that you just don't realize. You know, we've always had good sprinters on this side of town in Fort Worth, but it's always been them over there and them over there and one club over here. Now you actually got some guys doing some serious training. So, you know, it just helps us compete. It helps the competitiveness of DFW. It's just cool to see. And I think they started it in like 13 or 14. And there's some TCU grads that's putting a lot of money into it, as far as I know. And it's amazing to see it happen. Those are the things that'll help with what Michael wanna do when you start getting people together and doing that stuff on a youth level. Like you was talking about with the soccer complexes and stuff like that.
Right. Well, I'm all for it, because it was riveting, man, to watch. You know, because one of the interesting things was the Jamaicans, they got, I forget the names now, but you've all heard them if you follow track.
Sorry.
But
they look good. They look good, though.
Yeah, they do. But they was all training at the same facility. And Shelly Ann Frazier. Mm-hmm. She was one of them. She left. And then I know her name, but I can't see it right now. The top two left. And it wasn't Shelly Ann Frazier. It was the other one. They were like, well, why did you leave? You had so much success here. And she said, she made a great point, man. She said it was too competitive. And you would say, well, what does that mean? And she was like, when you're training, you're supposed to be training for the race or the competition that's coming up. But we run into races at practice because our mentality is, I can't let Joe beat me at practice. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that, oh, no, that pushes you to greatness. It was the other thing. I just can't do it. I can't get my work done because I'm too busy worried about with you and what you're doing. And it's messing up my deal because, you know, we just running striders. But Joe's decide, well, I'm finna win the strider. So now it's not striding, it's racing.
Running, yeah.
And over a period of time, I'm not getting all my work done because we up here competing instead of working. And it, you know, it reminded me because, now this is, you have to stretch it to figure it out. But sometimes when my son was a little kid, he'd be like, hey, Dad, let's play this video game right now. I said, nah, we can play later. Because I'm relaxing right now. I had a long day at work and I'm relaxing. If I play you, it's no longer relaxing for me. It's competitive and you know, then if you win, you're going to talk trash, and then now I got to beat you. And so I don't want to do all that right now. Well, I'm just trying to chill.
You don't like to lose anyway.
Well, who likes to lose? You can't, name me a good loser.
You can't take a loss.
Who likes to lose? Cam Newton didn't like to lose.
You can lose with dignity and class. You can't.
Are you trying to say I never lost with dignity and class?
Hell no, you never have.
Nah, see, that's just. I mean, that's just an extreme.
No, it's not. I know if you lost the game, you wasn't happy.
Happy with a loss?
You was hiding.
Call me Willie.
I don't care. I'm gonna clown you a little bit.
Yeah.
You never like to lose. Dog. If you win, you
says the man who won all the time.
Yeah. You can't win them all, player. If I did the best, put like this, I don't like to lose. But if I did the best I can, it's done. It's a wrap. Okay, I lost.
Yeah.
If I didn't do the best, any game I ever played in, no matter what I played, if I screwed around or I didn't give my best effort and I lost the game, I was miserable. But if I did the best I could and I lost, I was a lot less miserable. You was just better than me. That's what I'm gonna accept right now. You know, that's what I'm saying. So that's where I was. That's where you don't go crazy as a competitor. You know, to me. Well, that was good for me.
Sometimes I like to relax and sometimes I like to compete. But I don't like to mix the two.
Ain't trying to lose.
I don't know anybody trying to lose, man. All
right.
It's not in my DNA, dog. I'm a winner.
All right, then. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I know what to tell you. I'm going to tell you how to check this out. Go to check out our YouTube channel where you watch the show at The Real Jacques Talk. You can also follow the show on IG at The Real Jacques Talk. Hit me up on Twitter. Big Joe will be on there someday soon. If not, continue to send me messages to him. I get them to him. I send him screenshots. Sometimes he responds. Sometimes he don't.
Now, I ain't seen no screenshots in a while, man.
_ journalist. I just sent you one yesterday.
I don't remember that. I had to look. But can I say something about Sprint? I mean, when I watch Sprint, them track women, man. Them some of the finest women in the world. World. Oh, we can't say that. I'm gonna say it again.
I mean, you can.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna dispute you. And then I'm also on Clapper at I Am Jacques Taylor. Hey, we'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. We'll have a little chat about the All Star Game. You still care about the All Star Game? Have you ever cared about the All Star Game?
Which one?
Baseball.
Yeah. When Bo Jackson was in it and stuff like that. Bo Jackson hit the leadoff home run. He was the MVP. Yeah, I do. I mean, everything after COVID is kind of hard for me to go back to. I used to be the biggest sports nuts before COVID took everything away and I found other stuff to do. So, yeah, I still care, but I don't definitely have to be in front of the TV. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. You know, that's an interesting thing. We need to talk about that a little more, but we'll do that next week.
Roger.
So for Big Joe and the Big Rig, till we chat again, you guys be blessed.